Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Points on the road as Dobbo breaks his addict's duck with a belter to win the day at Rotherham. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. I hope you're well. My name is Louis Mendez, and joining me to look back at yesterday's enthralling 1-0 win up at Rotherham at United is Mr. Terry Smith. How are you doing, Terrell?
Oh, good, Louis. Yeah, thanks, you?
Yeah, good. A very enjoyable day yesterday up at the New York Stadium.
Wasn't it just, yeah? It was, we've tended to do well up there, I think, if memory serves. It's always... I wouldn't say strange place to go. It's probably not fair, but it's always an interesting place to go.
I think that is fair. We're unbeaten against Rotherham since 1983, and that run continued yesterday. So in a few moments' time, we are going to hear the highlights of the game from Charlton TV. We've also got post-match reaction from the gaffer, Johnny Jackson, and from the scorer of the goal, George Dobson, as well. And we've got your messages too, and some fans by reaction. I spoke to a couple of supporters on the train back from Rotherham. As well, so we're going to hear that later on in the show, as well as all your tweets and your emails. So looking forward to it. So before we hear the highlights, Terry, really enjoyable game actually. We defended pretty well, against a Rotherham side who are up the right end of the table, albeit to be fair, just sort of dropping off a little bit of form recently. But we defended well, and in the second half in particular, became a real threat, and we topped it off with that moment of quality from Dobbo. What a great way to win the game.
Yeah, and it seemed the way the game was panning out that it was going to be something of quality that was going to separate the two. And to be fair, I thought the only side that looked likely to produce that was us, because from virtual minute one, their method of trying to break us down was lumping it up to Michael Smith. That seemed to be the only plan that they had. And even in the second half, when they brought that the young nippy number seven on, Tutu. Who looked like he had something about them. They didn't really change their tactic, which was strange. And I thought generally we bossed it. There was a period And I'd have to say I disagree a little bit with the way the pundits on Charlton TV, Scott and Curbs, the way and Nicky Forster, the way they explained, they thought that we were under pressure too much in that first half. I didn't see it as pressure. I thought we started off brightly and we clearly had a plan to get behind them, as even if it was route one with the runs of Washington and even Blackett Taylor. But after about 10 minutes, we sort of got drawn into this sort of long ball thing where they hoofed it up and we cleared it and hoofed it and they cleared it back, or they hoofed it back forward again. And so, I mean, I think there was a period of about 10 minutes where I don't think the ball touched the floor. It was that type of football. So it was a bit numbing, and we just got sucked into it, I think. I'd like to find out, but Johnny Jackson and the backroom staff must have said something at halftime to say, right, stop doing that, because all we're doing is inviting pressure back, and we need to stop doing that. And second half we did, and largely controlled it, I thought.
Yeah, and won it in pretty spectacular fashion as well. Right then, let's have a listen back to the highlights of the game from Charlton TV. Peter Shurtliff was alongside Terry.
Into a Higuain. Sends it into the box, a deep one. It's a flick on! I'm not sure if that's a save or not. The referee says no. I didn't know whether McGillivray got a touch, but I think that was Sugbene across the six-yard box who got a head to the ball as it came in before anybody else. He couldn't direct it inside the post and it went away from towards the six-yard box. Stockley heads it backwards. Clare's going to have to deal with that, and does. Washington will be one-on-one with Rathbone. Can he get there first, Washington? He does. It's come off his shoulder. Heads it forward. Now a header towards the penalty area. He's in there, Washington. Oh, and it's a last-ditch tackle from Rathbone that saves the home side.
To get there, and it's run Blackett Taylor's way, and he's heading towards the corner of the penalty area. Blackett Taylor gets it on his left foot, takes a shot. Well, cross shot. Nobody on hand to bury it. And it'll run away for a Rotherham throw in on the opposite throw. But won't have time to take it, because there's the half-time whistle. And it's been an interesting off of Gilby, and Rotherham have the throw, and they've sent it down the line towards Ferguson. Ferguson, ball across into the box. Smith with the header. Nowhere near on target, really, when you consider the time he had in the penalty area. You'd expect him to look at that. Takes the ball in his stride. Further left is Morgan, looking to get into the penalty area. Ball into the box is a good one. Washington with a touch on a keeper. Saves it away. Blackett Taylor pursuing it, and then the ball across. I think Stockley would have been offside, so he couldn't go for it. And he comes out here for a throw into the home side. But Charlton, a real opportunity. Left corner of the penalty area. He's got Blackett Taylor in support. Into the penalty area. Still on the left-hand side. Cuts back inside. Finds Morgan. Morgan's got Dobson in space. Dobson with a shot. Oh, what a goal! Oh, what a strike that is! George Dobson meets the ball on the fall, on the volley, with the ball back across into the central position just outside the penalty area. And what a finish from Charlton's number four. And the Addicts have the lead.
That's a great finish. I was almost saying have a shot, and he just duly did that. I don't know, I've not seen him score before.
I'm not sure he has. I was just looking up that stat myself.
It's a great strike. And a good piece of play again by Rotherham, you know.
What a time.
They've looked bright.
And what a way to get your first goal.
Rotherham,
superb strike.
Yeah, Charlton look bright. Rotherham look a bit subdued. I don't know what's wrong with them. They look under a bit nervous. They're a bit under pressure.
Blackett Taylor up against Doug Bennett. Looks to take him on. Harding coming across as well. Cuts inside. And again, still Blackett Taylor. Thinks about a shot. Goes back the other way. Now might shoot. Does so over the bar. Good opportunity and a good strike, but just too much on it from Blackett Taylor. It's away for the goal kick.
Yeah, but it's more enterprising from him, isn't it? You know, he's showing a little bit of quality now, instead of just sort of running down blind alleys. He's prepared to come in on his right.
It is a corner to the home side. Sent into the far side of the six-yard box. Stockley there. It's going to drop a Hickway's way. It'll touch up to Miller, who sends it over the bar. Opportunity finds Dobson instead. Dobson turns away. He's got Stockley ahead of him. Stockley picks it up. To his left is Blackett Taylor into the penalty area. Blackett Taylor, Washington in the middle. Bypasses him. Gets it back, Blackett Taylor. He's got Morgan out here if he wants him. Dobson takes over, takes a shot. Oh, he smells blood. George Dobson, and that shot, however, after maybe a couple of deflections, comfortably into the arms of Johansson. Delivery, but Charlton have it with Stockley. Stockley trying to send Washington. He may well be offside here. Has he sprung the offside trap? Yes, he may well have done. Stockley tries to chip it over to keeper. He just gets back in time. grabs it in his six-yard box. Washington was on time here, is for the Charlton sub, I'm assuming, as Matthews sends it into the corner for Stockley. Brings it down well, Stockley, but he loses out eventually to Ahikwe, who swipes it forward. Femmo's underneath this, heads it back up in the air, and here's the final whistle. And the Addicts have come away from the New York Stadium with 3 points.
There we go. That was the highlights from yesterday. Thanks to the boys for that. Great result. We've got to talk about the goal, haven't we? I mean, what a way to cap off the season that George Dobson has had. And that was an excellent finish, and probably even more difficult than it looked, the way the ball's coming across his body and he's had to sort of cut across it with power and accuracy to beat the goalkeeper. It really was a really splendid goal to cap off a great season for Dobbo.
Yeah, it was a peach, wasn't it? And I think if I mean, I'm sure there are several criticisms that are going to be levelled at players and the club and the team at the end of this season. One of them is going to be that the midfield just don't score enough goals. But you wouldn't necessarily have expected it to come from George Dobson. I mean, player of the year by a country mile, I'm sure. I mean, who knows the result, but I'll be surprised if he doesn't. I'll be amazed, in fact. So, if it was going to come from any source in midfield, it's quite fitting that it comes from our player of the year elect. And what a strike it was, my word. He let it go across his body. And I think technically it was a very difficult thing to do and to get above it, get over it rather, and hit it in the direction he did and the angle he did and where he put it was just sublime. And it was just a great way to win a game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was just in that period of the game where we had started to have a few counter-attacks. We've seen that moment a few moments before, that cross that went into Washington and the keeper made the save and then Blackett Taylor put it across. I'd actually tweeted about 5 minutes before we scored that I didn't think we were keeping possession well enough when we were breaking. Like I thought, you know, on the ball, as you said, similarly in the first half, we gave it away too often. But we had just started to turn it on just before the goal came. So it did look like we were starting to take a little bit more control of that game as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we slightly differently in the second half to the first. I mean, the first half we were just conceding possession back by hoofing it clear. When they lumped it forward, Smith tried to get on the end of it. He was largely handled superbly by either any one of the back three, Famwo, Pierce or Clare, who I think played superbly as a three at the back. Excuse me. And I think second half, it was slightly different. We clearly were trying to play it a different way. Yes, trying to get it still into the channels and asking Washington and Blackett Taylor to get behind them. But then when we did that, or Stockley as well coming short, when we did it, I didn't. You're right, I didn't think there was a period there where we didn't use it well enough. But when we did, and it almost came by accident. I don't know if you remember the way the goal, I'm trying to remember it myself, but when Corey Blackett Taylor went down that left side, it looked like he was going to lose possession because he sort of ended up going down a bit of a blind alley. But credit to Albie Morgan, who came up in support, was there for the little layback because there was nothing else Blackett Taylor could do. And then Dobson arrived on the scene right at the right minute, and the rest is history. I think you look at the stats, and I think from memory, when I looked at them yesterday, they had something like 10 shots, and we had 2 of our 9. But that doesn't tell the story, I don't think. I think only one of theirs was on target, and I don't really think that McGilvery had too much to do in terms of shot stopping, but what he did do, and he did do superbly, was control his area.
Again, it all comes back to that superb question in a few weeks ago, doesn't it? But we'll come on to that in a bit. The way that we saw the game out as well defensively as a unit all game is actually funny. After about 10 minutes, I'd already tweeted about Jason Pierce, and I thought, right, here we go. Pierce is on one today. He's playing really well. But I remember tweeting it after 10 minutes ago, I just know he's going to score an own goal or something after I've done this. But, I mean, he kept it up for 90 minutes as well. He has been, this season, so dependable when he's been asked to come back into the side. And yesterday was certainly one of those occasions, one of those games that he would have absolutely loved against a big old brute in the likes of Michael Smith. I mean, Freddie Ladapo, I forgot he was even on until the last 20 minutes or so, but yeah, we really kept him kept their strike force at arm's length, and Piercy absolutely led the line superbly.
Yeah, I was a little surprised they kept Ladapo on. He'd been out for a while with some sort of muscle tear or quad tear, and I didn't expect to see him back quite so soon, actually, because it's a similar injury that Innes had, who was out for quite a while. So I was surprised to see him back, and I think he came back too soon, to be honest. I think He didn't have that turn of pace. He didn't have that speed that you would expect him to have. And so all really had to deal with was the balls up to Michael Smith. And I thought wherever he went, every single one of our back three dealt with him.
Yeah, and it was so impressive. I mean, considering it was always going to be like a slightly makeshift defence. Well, I don't know if that's the right phrase, because obviously there were defenders in that team. But after midweek, when we lost Sam Lavelle to injury and Ryan Innes to stupidity, there was always a fear that it would take a while for a new back three to gel. But that certainly wasn't the case yesterday.
No, not at all. And I actually wasn't quite so worried, I think, because I think Famo's a good centre-half. I think he needs a controlling influence beside him, and whether that be Lavelle or Innes. I think Pierce, I don't want to use the phrase lucky, but he was up again. I mentioned before about Ladapo not being sharp, so he didn't have the pace. So Jason Pierce was never troubled by pace, which I think if he's going to be troubled at all, that's it. But if you want somebody who's just going to come up against another player who's a physical presence but doesn't have that sort of blistering pace, then Jason Pierce is your man you want all day long. And he dealt with Michael Smith superbly and dealt with everything they threw at us. And he did everything you expect Jason Pierce to do. He put his body on the line, threw himself in front of shots when they come. And so when you want somebody in the trenches, then you wouldn't need to look much further than Jason Pierce.
I mean, you did touch upon, obviously, Craig McGilvray coming out and commanding his area a bit more. And we'll hear Jacko's quotes on that in a few moments' time, because I did ask. But along with the fact that he was doing that, Jaden was back there. I mean, Jaden won 10 aerial challenges yesterday, which was double the amount that anyone else on the pitch did. And obviously, at least some of those would have been in his own penalty area. Because how many corners did we see him head away? Two or three. That sort of duo there meant that actually we didn't look troubled from set pieces, which would have been a worry at Rotherham. You know, they did have a pretty tall side, as we've mentioned, the likes of Smith up there. But it just goes to show that when that goalkeeper is commanding his box, and like I say, Jaden's back there helping out, Pearce, who probably got a couple away, the fact that we don't look vulnerable from set pieces was a major difference to something a month ago, when it felt like we were conceding from them every month, like every game, sorry.
Yeah, it's huge. Excuse me. And when you consider that confidence is such a big thing in sport and football especially, and so I don't think you can dismiss that side of things when McGilvray knows he's got players around that are going to win footballs. And so he's got more confidence in his back three. And you mentioned before, Jaden Stockley, who is so important to us at both ends of the pitch. And he commands that 6 yard, the edge of that 6 yard box when the ball comes in from a free kick. And he's almost always the first one there. And when he wasn't there yesterday, either McGilvray came out and claimed it, or Jason Pearce and or Famo or somebody else, Claire, maybe got the head to it. So I think when as a goalkeeper, when you know you've got that in front of you, when you know you've got almost an impenetrable wall in front of you, then it makes your job easier. So it gives you that then confidence then to come and claim balls that maybe when you're not confident, you think, well, I'll just hang back, because if that flicks off their striker, I'm going to have to deal with it. And I think that's huge. It's just I don't think you can underestimate how important that is.
The way we hit them on the counter attack in that second half, in particular with pace, you know, I mean, we're always talking about Corey Blackett-Taylor at the moment, and he was a bit of a thorn in their side. I think I heard Peter mention a little bit about end product at one point yesterday, which is probably fair, because, you know, for all the counter attacks we had in the first half and the second half, maybe Corey could have picked up one or two more passes. But an unsung hero of that part of our game will obviously be Connor Washington as well. And I think he will go under the radar for his performance a little bit yesterday. His running of the channels. I mean, the amount of times we saw a long ball over the top, that one where he out-muscled a defender and went through and was unlucky with Rathbone, got back and made the challenge. I mean, the performance from him yesterday, for me, goes to show why he's such an important player for us, even if he does miss a few chances.
Yeah, I think you know my opinion of Connor Washington, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned on it here when I was on here last. He is such an important player for the way we want to play. And that is by not just a team on the break, but just running into channels. And not just running into channels blindly, because anybody can do that. It's running with the sort of intelligence and nous and know-how to run into an area which scares defenders, which drags defenders out, which gives space to other players. If the ball doesn't come to you, doesn't matter, because it means there's space elsewhere. and he is so good at that. And yesterday I felt a little bit sorry for him because, you saw him. Yes, if you're going to be ultra critical, he should have pulled the trigger just a split second before Rathbone could get back. But the very nature of the way he got into that position in the first place and then did several times more was something you've got to applaud and say, without that, we are not even close to being the same sort of side. And it would have been perfect if he could have topped that performance off with a goal. Just didn't come, I'm afraid. But it'll come, because I mentioned it to Johnny Jackson in the week. Consider how long Stockley and Washington were out for. And especially as a striker, and that sharpness. I mentioned Ladapo. He comes back from a quad injury, and he's so important to them. He's their second top scorer. And as a partnership, Smith and Ladapo have been superb this season when they play together. Didn't look anywhere near on it yesterday, and was a shadow of the player he should be. And you've got to give Connor Washington and James Stockley a few more games to get that sharpness back, I reckon. And unfortunately, we were running out of time. We've only got, what, four? Is it four games left? Or five? Yeah. I can't remember now. Four.
Four or five, I've forgotten.
we're running out of games. So by the time they get their sharpness back, they'll be on their summer holidays. But it does bode well, hopefully, for next season.
Yeah, certainly. One player who came back into the side yesterday, Albie Morgan in the midfield. What did you make of him yesterday? Jacko was pleased. But again, in terms of players who gave the ball away, he'd probably be right up there, him and Gilby. There were parts of his game yesterday that Jacko certainly enjoyed.
I think Albie Morgan, it was a classic Albie Morgan game. I mean, you're desperate for him to do well. I think every single fan is desperate for him to do well. And there were, as you say, there were parts of his game where the goal itself, he was in support, he was hassling, he was harrying, he wasn't giving the opposition a minute's peace. And he was in support for Blackett Taylor at the right moment, at the right time. And he did that a lot. But also, as you say, there were times when that, I mean, how many times, I think I lost count, where he was in position and he needed a simple layoff to Blackett Taylor more often than not. And he either overhit the pass or chose not to pass or went in the opposite direction. And that's the frustration that Albie Morgan brings. So everything you expect from Albie Morgan came in one game yesterday.
He certainly did, and it was a solid performance. I mean, we've got to talk about it, right? So you mentioned it's a strange place to go, Rotherham. So I'm confused because they're a successful club over the last few years, okay? Relegation from the Championship is nothing to be ashamed of for a club of their size. I think battling at the top end of League One is something to be pretty proud of for a club of their size. Obviously, they had their cup win during the week now. The way that the people who sit near us every time we go there moan and moan about their own team, I've never known any other ground like it. It's absolutely bizarre. And I went on to their forum today. I was trying to see if there's any news on the fan who seemed to injure herself before the game. Yes, sir, I couldn't find anything, unfortunately. But the moaning about the manager, they're just outside the top two. It was absolutely bizarre.
It was bonkers. I mean, the only good thing was they weren't moaning at us. I didn't get asked if I or told that they wished I had an accident on the way home or questioned my parentage or any of that yesterday. So we got away lightly, but their team didn't. And you're right, as you say. I mean, I don't know whether it's because they've been this sort of League One to Championship yo-yo club, and maybe they're getting the hump with that. They've just won at Wembley, paraded the trophy beforehand, and you think, all right, we played well. And we played them correctly, and so they couldn't get to us. But they are on a little bit of a bad run. I think they'd only won one in five, and now probably one in six now, of course. So you can understand them being a bit frustrated, but they're almost certain to be in the playoffs at the very least. And they've still got two games in hand on MK Dons, so automatic promotion is still more of a possibility than not. So, yeah, quite why they were so vociferously angry at both the manager and the players. I mean, there was one point where we'd been dominant for a good 10, 15-minute spell, and I think we had a corner, and they brought everybody back. And to a man, to my right, almost every single Rotherham fan to my right is on their feet screaming at their players to send players up. And bizarrely, one of them did. I think it was when Osu Tutu was on, when he came on a sub. And he sort of listened to the crowd and started drifting back towards the halfway line. It was quite comical, actually. But, yeah, just bizarre.
Yeah, really strange. I mean, what about our club then, our manager? As a result that he needed, I don't think we're on an awful run of form. We've only lost one in six. I think the result against Lincoln was disappointing. I don't think we played that badly. Wimbledon in midweek, different story. I thought we were not really at it. But We're on an okay run, you know. Obviously, we know how poor this season has been, and no matter where we finish now, it will be a massive disappointment. But I think Johnny needs more results and performances like he got yesterday between now and the end of the season, and it sets a stall there, and it sets a template for the sort of performances we want to be putting in away from home against bigger clubs next season. If we're going to be up there, we need to do that every game. And then I guess the other side of it is when we go away to smaller clubs, we need to know how to break through them and play better than we did against Wimbledon. But you know, I'm feeling more positive now than I was maybe 3-4 weeks ago or a month ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, there's a sort of list of things you don't do, I guess, or you don't need to happen if you want a successful season. Obviously, the first one is probably injuries. You want to have as few of those as possible. And if you look at most teams that win championships or get promoted, it's because they've had the least amount of injuries that affect their season. That's normally the case. And that normally comes if you've got a good squad as well. Now, I think trying to stop our key players getting injured would be nice. And I think if we can do that, then we'll be there or thereabouts. Stop shooting ourselves in the foot would be nice. So even when we've got our players back, like Wimbledon, you don't get stupid sending offs, or Lincoln, you don't get stupid sending offs. And so if you can get those two things together, plus get a style of play that works, then we're going to be there, or most teams will be up there. And I think that performance yesterday, very similar to the Sunderland one, I think, as well, when Johnny Jackson first started his managerial career with us. I think that's what he expects from his players. And if he's got the full side that he wants out, and they don't shoot themselves in the foot, then we've got every chance of winning games of football.
Well, let's see what happens next year. Obviously, we still know all about the rebuild that does need to happen. Let's hear from the man who's going to have to play a big part in that, of course, the manager, Johnny Jackson. He came to speak to me after the game, agreed with me there was no one more deserving of scoring such a goal like that than George Dobson.
No, I just said that to him in the change room there. Goal worthy to win any game, but so pleased for him. That he's the match winner today, because he's been outstanding for me. I think he's been magnificent, so he's deserved that. It's been a while coming, goal for him, but he deserved that today. I thought his overall performance in the game was brilliant, and since I've took over, he's been a mainstay in the team, hasn't he? So I'm really pleased for him.
Yeah, you must feel vindicated, because obviously you brought him straight into the side in your first game at Sunderland, and he's probably been one of your best players, your most consistent players.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't need that goal to vindicate the decision. I think, like you say, he's been the most consistent. He's been a mainstay. I think he's played every game, and he's kept his shirt. And that's what I said when I took over. You know, if you're performing on the pitch, then you keep your place. So he's probably the only one that's managed to keep his place every single week. So brilliant, delight for him.
And it's a big 3 points as well, and a big performance to come away against, you know, Rotherham side, who slipped up slightly in the league recently, but they're still a real threat in this division.
Yeah, I mean, they're third in the league. I don't know what happened elsewhere today, but they're right up there. They're still right in the mix for automatic promotion. They're a good side with good players and threats all over the pitch. So to come here and win 1-0 in the manner of the performance, I thought was magnificent. Away performance limited them to very little. I don't think Mac has really made a save. One in the first half, but it was offside anyway. I don't think he's had to make a save. He's had to come and claim some crosses, of course. We defended our box really well, but we've limited them, and we've had countless chances on the break. So as an away performance, yeah, I'm really pleased with that.
Yeah, you look at this as the perfect away performance, and you soak up pressure without giving away chances, and then it looks a real threat on the break, as we know with Corey and the pace that he can bring, and Connor on the running the channels and that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah, we knew we'd have to have periods where we defend our box, you know, stand up against that threat, which they have got. I knew there'd be opportunities if we played, if we dealt with that, and we had a nice compact shape, that when we did win it in transition, we could really hurt them. You need pace to do that, of course. Like you said, you've got Corey there, you've got Connor, who's got pace and makes great runs and works tirelessly for the team. So it worked really well today.
So you had to make defensive changes given what happened during the week, but I think especially this season, Jason Pearce has been so dependable for you.
Yeah, I mean, he is Mr. Dependable, isn't he? You know, he's had a great career. He's the captain, you know, for a reason. Because, you know, when called upon, he hasn't played week in, week out, but when called upon, you know that you can rely on him to come in and do the job. And I thought, again, like with all of them back there, defended brilliantly.
You promised they wouldn't be on the beach. There was one fan behind me in the first half. He was claiming they were, but I don't think the performance said anything about that today.
It was a home fan
saying, "Oh, come on, these are on the beach." But I don't think your side really showed that today.
Definitely not. No, I just said that to the group in there. What's pleased me probably most about the last two games? Okay, we didn't win on Tuesday night, but you're playing a team that's fighting for their lives to stay in the division. You're playing a team today that's fighting for their lives to try and get promoted. And we, you know, relatively speaking, nothing to play for. Yet, I think it would never be apparent on the football pitch. I think my players are absolutely fighting, giving everything as if it's us that's desperate for those points. And that's what I've asked of them. That's what they've given me. So that's, as a manager, when you see your team and your players fighting for you like that, it's really pleasing.
What did you make of Albie today? I was speaking to a fan before the game and she was really desperate to see him back in the side. When you brought him back in today, what did you make of his performance?
I thought he done well. I thought it was a really mature performance, which is what I wanted from him. I thought he stuck to the script really well. He worked hard. I know that about Albie, that he's desperate to play and he's desperate to do well. But today probably required a different type of performance. Out of possession, getting around the pitch. And we know that he's got quality, and I think a couple of instances there he'll probably be annoyed with himself that he didn't quite pick the right pass or execute the right pass at times, but I thought his overall contribution was really good.
I asked you this question a few weeks ago, so it's only really fair to ask it again now. I think Craig's probably come out the other side of it, but he's commanding his box a bit more now. He's taking crosses again. Are you pleased to see how he's reacted to that conversation?
Delighted. Credit to him. He came under some criticism from myself. We had some good honest conversations and we sat down and we looked at things and spoke about how and what I need him to do to improve, and he took it on board and now I think he's actually sort of relishing the opportunity now to come and command his penalty box again. Excellent today. I think there's been a marked improvement in his performances, and that's credit to him, because he's took on board what I've asked and he's implemented it.
Also, Johnny, obviously in the last two games you had those two red cards. In this game it was a good defensive performance, but your side's tackling was excellent. You didn't give the ref too many decisions to make and whatnot. Are you proud of your team for that?
I'm proud of my team for the performance. I wasn't sort of thinking about the discipline side of it. I thought it was a very disciplined performance, as in how we stuck to our task, stuck to our shape. I always encourage them to make tackles and compete and fight in a fair way. Obviously, you know, we got that wrong. Went over the top. But yeah, really pleased with it today. I think we did fight. We competed. We made the tackles, but we done it in the proper way.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
is there, heads it away. Can Lee pick it up? Yes, he can. Ahead of Kamara. Now sends Washington on that right-hand side. He's in space. Washington into the area he goes. Can he drill it home? Yes, he can! Oh, Connor Washington! Put shot, tune it up. And could that be the game? A lovely ball out. Connor Washington on the run. Burstow is in the middle. But Connor Washington drills it home.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from the Addicts boss, Johnny Jackson, because it's me and Terry looking back at yesterday's win up at Rotherham. Mention how big a point, how big a win it was for him. I mean, he knows he's got rebuilds to do. There was one point, actually, I wanted to pick up on. I asked him about Piercy, and he spoke about it. He said he's had a great career. What's next for Piercy? I'm sure there's other people who for me, player, coach, I still want to see him coming off the bench or like playing games like that and doing what he can do every now and then.
There is a place for players like Jason Pearce at this club, especially, not least because of the service he's given us. And yeah, okay, you could call that a slightly romantic ideal, and we shouldn't be romantic ideals. We should be ruthless and just signing the best players we possibly can. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but. You mentioned it just now. I still think there's a role to play for Jason Pearce at this club. Games like yesterday are a classic example of that. I know for a fact that he's looking at his coaching a lot more seriously this season, and he's doing all his badges and everything else that runs with it. So, if we can combine the two as we did with Johnny Jackson, then why not keep Jason Pearce here? Because you know I mentioned before about having the squad and managing injuries, and hopefully they don't come as often as they did this season. But if you've got a player of Jason Pearce's quality at the back and you can pick your games, like yesterday, where you haven't got players with blistering pace, then I think he's got a role to play. You need players like Jason Pearce to get out of League One. You know, if you look at every time we've got out of this league, we've had players, usually about eight players in the first team squad, that will run through brick walls for you, that will absolutely, you know, put their bodies on the line to win a game of football. And Jason Pearce is one of those.
Certainly is. Right, let's have a look at a couple of the messages that have come in to our Twitter account as well. Ben says, I actually love Dobbo, need to get him a song, and that's certainly true. And then Stuart says, that's the quality that we have in the squad. So is it the management or the player's attitude that has been missing for the majority of this season? Well, how do you answer that, Tel? Because, I mean, there are days when you come away from Sunderland away or Portsmouth away or Rotherham away yesterday and you think, why has this not happened all season? Obviously, injuries will play a part in it, but, you know, there have been games where we've been at a full roster or even under Nigel Atkins at the start of the season. We weren't suffering from injuries then and we were on equally as bad form as we had been with the injuries under Jacko.
Yeah, I think you can split it into different parts of the season. I think you're right with Nigel Atkins. There was something not quite right with the full potential. He wasn't picking the same side. I mean, Dobson wasn't getting anywhere near the side when Nigel Atkins was manager. So I think you could probably question the team selection and tactics then. I think injuries then come along, and so I'm not sure you can question the management or commitment at that point when injuries play a part. But there have been games, and you can't hide from it. I mean, Accrington away is the one that really sticks in my mind, where we had a decent side out and a side that should have competed, and we just didn't compete at all. And so those are the games, and you're going to get one or two, but we've had probably too many of those. But that's not the only reason we're not up there. And I think maybe when players, you know, you go through a season and you think there's not a huge amount to play for, when maybe that affects the psyche of players. It shouldn't, but maybe it does. But I think you'd be hiding and not telling the truth if you said that we haven't performed properly in enough games.
Yeah, certainly. That's been the case. Right, cheers for your tweets. We've got some emails to come in a few moments' time as well, but I think it's time to hear from the man of the moment. George Dobson scored his first Addicts goal yesterday. A superb strike it was. He came to speak to me after the game yesterday. I asked him to talk me through the strike and how pleased he was to get off the mark.
Yeah, obviously delighted. Alvy's played it across and it was one of them where it's obviously come across the body, and you're just thinking, just get it on target. But struck it cleanly, and there's no better feeling than see it nestle into the back of the net. Yeah,
I've seen some nice pictures from Carl. You seem to be enjoying it, and I guess you feel like you've been waiting for your first chance to get off the mark.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I don't have many shots. I am normally one a season, and we're obviously getting late on now. So the boys were actually saying, like, any danger of you getting a goal? It was obviously perfect to get it today, and obviously a 1-0 win against a team that's up there where we want to be next season.
Yeah, there's a proper display, a proper away day display where we soak up perhaps a bit of pressure, but don't give away too many chances, and then we looked a real danger on a break today.
Yeah, I think the game plan worked perfectly. Obviously, with Connor on the counter attack and Jaden's aerial threat, they're always going to create chances. We had a lot more times where we probably could have got in when it went to 1-0, especially where the counter attack was working so well. So, no, that obviously should give us great confidence. And obviously, we've had the two red cards in the last two games, but the application and effort of everyone in the last six, and as well as the results, really have been good. So we've just got to keep doing this for the last four games and take it into next season.
Yeah, you mentioned we want to be where Rotherham are next season, and you know, we've had days like this. We've had Sunderland, we've had today, we've had other wins against good teams. But I mean, what is it do you think that we need to be more consistently up that end of the table with the performances?
Well, obviously, the way we started the season was nowhere near good enough. We was obviously sitting 23rd after about 13, 14 games, which is a tough mountain to climb. And obviously, the standard of the top 7 or 8, 9 this year has been so strong. It's probably going to be one of the highest playoff totals that you'll see. So we've obviously showed performances like today that we can beat anyone, and with Jaden and Connor in the team, we've been a match for anyone. So it's just about consistently churning out the performances and building on games like today and taking it into the start of the season and making sure we start fast and not give ourselves a too hard mountain to climb, really.
And obviously, from a personal point of view, Johnny's really put his faith in you, brought you straight in for his first game, and you haven't really come out the side. You must appreciate being thought about like that by the manager.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, when he put me in up at Sunderland, however long ago that was, the gaffer obviously was just like, "This is your opportunity," and I've just been trying to play like every opportunity is my last to stay in the team, really. So I'll continue to do that every time I get picked, and I'm honestly loving it, loving playing for the club, loving being here, and I just really want us to push on next season and be at the right end of the table, because this club is shouldn't be sitting in mid-table.
How difficult was it sort of at the start of the season when you were left out? Did you feel hard done by? Did you feel like you still had something to prove?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, that's football, really. You have some gaffers who like what you do and some gaffers who don't. That's part and parcel of the game. I was just waiting for my opportunity, and obviously just thankful for the gaffer that he gave it to me, and I've just tried to repay his faith, really.
And it's obviously your first season, Player of the Year dinner coming up in a few weeks, and your name's certainly been thrown about up there. I mean, do you feel like you're pleased with how your season's gone since you come back into the side?
Yeah, I think I've like I said, I've just tried to give everything every time I've played. I just try and leave everything out on the field, and as I said, I'll just continue to do that every time I'm picked.
More goals into add to your game? Is that not something you're that bothered about? You're the defensive midfielder, really, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I'm not really bothered about the goals, to be honest. I'm not really that far up the pitch that much. I'm always trying to protect the back three, back five. So I'm not going to say I'm going to turn into a Frank Lampard. But yeah, it'll obviously be nice to have a couple a season.
Well, if you can score from outside the box, you don't have to get that far up the pitch.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's Dobbo speaking to me after the game yesterday. I mean, he says it himself. He's not going to become the next Frank Lampard. But you know, if he's a one goal a season man, I don't think it really matters when you provide that sort of protection of the back four, or sorry, the back three or back five, as he said. I nearly got my heat map out to show him that it's not a back five. But to provide that protection, I mean, he's had such a good season. And it was so nice to see how much he enjoyed that goal yesterday. It was great to speak to him as well. First time I've got the chance to. And, you know, he's been on a real journey this season.
Hasn't he just? And I'd got a sneaking suspicion that now he's done that. And if you remember, after he scored, he went for another one a little while later, which took a couple of deflections and ended up harmlessly in the keeper's arms. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see a few more, actually. Now he's got maybe just that belief that, oh, I can do this. Then maybe that'll just put something in the back of his mind that it's worth a go now and again. So I wouldn't mind betting that's not necessarily the end of the Dobson scoring charts. Maybe not so many this season because we haven't got many games left, but hopefully that'll give him the impetus then to realise that that's something he can do because, oh, goodness me, we know what he can bring to the side because, as I said before, he's player of the year elect. And so add that to his game and my word, we'll have a player.
Hmm. I mean, it does bode the question, like, why couldn't he get into the side and undenied Joe Atkins? I mean, the stats were remarkable. So he played the first, I think it was four, I was looking up earlier. Then between those first four, so sort of like the end of August and October, when Jacko took over, and he played one more game. So over the case of, what, 7 or 8 weeks, he played one game, and he's our player. He's clearly our player of the season. What I wonder what it was that Nigel didn't like about him.
I mean, if I knew the answer to that, I'd probably be winning the lottery week in, week out. I think the only thing I can possibly explain or even think to explain is that Nigel Atkins had a way of play that he liked to just get forward as quickly as possible. And so he wanted all of his midfield players to be attacking style midfield players. And the problem is that it means he went to his back three and said, right, you're defending, the rest aren't. And so it was a case of bombing forward. And we'd have to end up scoring five goals to win a game of football because you're almost certainly going to concede three or four in doing it that way. And that seemed to be the way that Nigel Atkins wanted to play. I mean, I don't know for sure because I don't think he ever admitted that, but that just seemed to be the way it is. And, of course, when you've got a defensive midfield player of the style of George Dobson and you don't want to be defensively minded, then he's surplus, I guess.
Yeah, when I asked Jacko earlier in the interview, I said you must feel so vindicated about his decision to bring George Dobson out from the cold. And I mean, that does reflect well on a manager when he can bring a player who maybe didn't have quite the start of the season that he wanted to and install that belief into him and improve him as a player and to get him up to this level. Obviously, I saw a discussion earlier on the forum about whether players have regressed or progressed under Jacko. I mean, George has certainly progressed under him. I can't think of too many that have regressed as individuals. I think I have a team, obviously, we've had poor moments, but he certainly has been one that Jacko will see as a big tick for his sort of man management since he's taken over.
Absolutely that. And I said it before, that every time we've got out of this division, and I think if you had a quick glance at every team that's ever got out of League One, you would very rarely, I think, find a total football playing team that just scores six goals a game and wins in a style that, is Barcelona-esque. I just don't believe that will ever happen in League One. Championship's a different matter. You need a mixture of the both. But in League One, you definitely need, half a dozen to eight players that I said before will just run through brick walls for you. And George Dobson is absolutely that. I'd say we've probably got four or five. We just haven't, we haven't. Some of them have been injured for this season, so we haven't had them to call on. But we haven't got enough of them, unfortunately. Now, maybe Johnny Jackson can see that attitude and that aptitude in a few of the players that we can maintain. We don't have to change quite in the way Chris Powell did, for example. Maybe you can see that it is possible with certain players, so we keep them and use them next season. Hopefully that's the case, and we don't have to sign quite so many. But we need a different style of player to get out of League One. Or more of a different style of player to get out of League One.
Certainly. Right, let's have a look at some of the emails that came in to the inbox after yesterday's game. Right, McSquared says, OK, I'm sure nobody is going to get carried away and we're still clearly a long way off looking like a side capable of winning promotion. But yesterday's performance was exactly what was required after the previous two disappointed and ill-disciplined displays. Once again, we managed to raise our game against a side that is still battling for promotion and were well worthy of the 3 points in the end. The entire team showed discipline, tenacity and professionalism from start to finish, and our midfield looked the best it had for some time. There were still some misplaced passes from time to time, but we defended solidly and Rotherham never really had any clear-cut chances. Actually, I felt they were rather poor for a side chasing promotion, mostly just lumping balls into our box without any end product. Gilby redeemed himself. Pearce and Fainwo both had good games back in the fold. Dobson had what was almost certainly his best game in a Charlton shirt today, capped off by a fantastic long-range goal, which will certainly turn out to be the goal of the season. Stockley and Washington were tireless and both gave their all. As always, and a special mention has to be made to McGilvray, whose positioning and claiming was spot on throughout. I would even go as far to say he's been our most improved player in the last few matches. It can be of no coincidence our defensive record has improved at the same time. Now we just have to make sure the standard is maintained in the remaining matches, and if so, we have every chance or finishing the season in the top half of the table, which would be something, at least. No more forced dawns, please. Yeah, I mean, would a top half of the table finish? I mean, I'm not going to get the open top bus out for that, but I mean, it's something meagre to aim for, I guess, between now and the end of the season.
I don't even think it's league position. I mean, and I'm grateful to the Charlton Museum who take me into to some tweets about where, you know, where our worst position finish has been in our history. And yes, you know, when you look back, it does mean something. But I'm more concerned about just finishing on a high, really, and getting some positivity into next season. Having said that, if Johnny Jackson is going to make wholesale changes, it won't really matter because it'll be a different looking playing squad next season. But just from the fans' point of view, I guess more than anything else, even more so than the players, I think if we can, you know, put a decent run in this final four games and win the majority, then it just puts us puts a smile back on supporters' faces. Yeah. It won't be a broad smile. It won't be a toothy grin or anything like that. It'll just be maybe a smirk. But it's better than looking miserable, which is where most of this season we've been heading.
Yeah, a few more moments. Like, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it, the video from Danny Turner from behind the goal, his daughter filming and shouting yes, Dad. I mean, that is reward for all those fans who have travelled up. We're going to hear from I think Matt and George later on in the show as well, who made the trip up there. But moments like that between now and the summer, that's all we can really hope for.
Oh, that was a quality moment, wasn't it? And I think he should be justifiably proud of that Langer. Yeah, it was a lovely moment. And yeah, it's what going to football is all about, isn't it? It's what you know, these moments like that, and you can't script them. They just happen, and you just look back at them and think, "Oh, that was a moment." And we've had a few, just not enough this season.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Clive says, "Dear Louis, credit to Jason Pearce, Akin Fainwell, and Albie Morgan, three forgotten men who put in a good shift. I now think that Adam Matthews deserves a new contract. We're going to struggle to get in someone better in our price range. If we can, then great. But let's not let the chance of not take the chance of letting him go. All right, what's your views on that, Tel?" Because I'd say a few months ago, most people would have happily binned off Adam Matthews, but he's doing his end of season thing. He's like the opposite of Charlton in the Premier League. Like, last few games of the season, he's really good.
Yeah. I think with Adam Matthews, I mean, there's no doubting his ability at all. Because, I mean, the goal at Wimbledon, for example, when we were down at 10 men, outstanding football to get to that point, and the cross was pinpoint and perfect. And yesterday, again, played really well, and you know he can. We've seen him do it. Consistency is the big issue here, and you know, Johnny Jackson has got questions to answer. I mean, yes, if he plays like he did in the last two games for the whole of the season, it's a no-brainer. Adam Matthews would be the first name on the team sheet. Of course, if he played like the last two games for the rest of the season, he might not be playing League One either. Do you know what I mean? So it's a tricky one. If you could guarantee Adam Matthews playing like that week in, week out, then I don't see anybody denying that he needs to sign up. It's just whether Johnny Jackson can be confident that that's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Dave says, big shout out to Terry for your solo effort yesterday. I mean, it's not that much more effort, is it, with your voice?
I'm not sure. I wasn't solo either. I had the wonderful Peter Shirtliff beside me.
Yeah, but I
thought he was going to be my bodyguard, Peter Shirtliff. I stuck him to the right in between me and the fans, but I didn't need him in the end.
Yeah, oh, it was a shame that geezer wasn't there, the one who called you a cockney and something
I did,
else as well.
I did look for him, but I couldn't find him.
Yeah, he obviously scared him off. Right, before we hear the rest of the emails, let's have a listen to the views of a couple of the supporters who went up to Rotherham yesterday on the train back. I was able to speak to Matt and to George, and I asked them for their views on the performance up at the New York Stadium.
I thought it was a lot better performance today. Second half, I thought we was a lot stronger. We pushed them well. A brilliant goal from Dobson, probably the most deserving player on the pitch.
Yeah,
to score
say,
a goal. Yeah,
he's had such a good season, hasn't he? And he just missing that one moment like that.
Yeah, yeah, and to rifle it into the corner the way he did was just. Oh, that was top quality. Yeah. Top quality.
Amazing. Also. Probably one of our best performances in, like, crossing wise, good passing. Nothing to play for, but just to show teams what we got. So, Rotherham, they did things in the first half. Like, crossing in the box didn't really threaten us a lot. Didn't work, we didn't really test the goalkeeper. So, simple. But second half, we just went out and got our chance, took it simply. And then that's how it worked for us.
Yeah, in the first half, I thought they were on us a little bit more. They pushed us. And then in the second half, I thought we pushed them a lot more. I thought we defended well. Pierce was brilliant at the back. For Miro, it was a little, as he is, but Claire played well. So, yeah, it was a good performance.
Yeah, I asked Jacko about this as well, but I thought Craig McGivray started claiming crosses a little bit better today. So I just wondered what you thought of that.
Bombing balls into the box a lot more in most of the game, and he was claiming a lot of them. So, yeah, it seemed to be where their threat came from, was from the air.
Yeah, beautiful goal. I thought Blackie Taylor kind of messed up because the touch, he went a bit wide and he just passed it into Dobson. First time curved in the top corner.
He's had a really good season, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I'll probably give him player of the year. Could probably have a shot of probably Charlton's goal of the season, to be honest.
How are you feeling now going into like the end of the season? Obviously, there's nothing left to play for, but what was your aims between now and then? What have you thought about Jacko so far?
I think he's done pretty well. I know a lot of Charlton fans are not sort of undecided on him so far this season, so I think he's okay. I think he's worth a chance, and I think rest of the season just play it out, try not to lose too many more and just get the results we can.
When he came in, I was like, okay, new manager, see what he's got. He's keeping us in this league, and he's the reason that we're probably going to be going into the championship next season. So
confident.
Yep.
And I guess there will need to be a bit of a squad rebuild in the summer, so it's an important summer for Jack and for Thomas.
Yeah, I think we need a winger to just back, so when Jai Simi gets tired, I mean not Jai Simi, Blackett Taylor, and we need a, like, Matthews, he plays good on the wing, but the thing is he runs, but sometimes we just need that little spark. We need like a proper winger.
Lovely stuff. Cheers for that. Right, next email. Phil says, what a win and what a strike. I don't know quite where or why Dobby's been hiding that away. Assume they're being retained. It will be good to see Dobbo and Jake Forster-Caskey playing in midfield next season. Will certainly give us some bite in the middle, and they would allow each other the freedom to break into dangerous positions and score more goals from midfield, which has been lacking this season. Also notable that we have tended to be more solid in defence when Pierce has been at the back. Although when he hasn't looked as strong, it's been when playing two consecutive games with one in midweek. Perhaps we could extend next season to a 46-week season and only play on Saturdays to give him more recovery time. Things are definitely beginning to come together, and we're still not converting enough of our chances. So if we can pick up a genuine poacher and add more depth to the squad, I reckon we will have a good season in 22-23. Have all the other names been taken off the ballot for Player of the Year yet? Well, I think that'll be sorted out in the voting, I'm sure. I mean, Jaden Stockley is good enough for me as a striker. I mean, I was copying into a tweet earlier today, actually, from Sam, and he was saying that he'll be a solid backup striker for next season. You can always aim for better. I don't think we can aim much higher than Stockley in terms of his goal return. I think it's fine.
18 goals, by the way. I mean, it's not to be sniffed at. I mean, if for beginning of the season you were putting a list of reasons why you'd buy a striker, and one of them would be, well, yeah, somewhere around the 20 goal mark is what we need from a striker, and he's delivered that. I mean, I'd be amazed if he doesn't, if he's playing for the next four games, that he doesn't hit the 20 mark between now and the end of the season, and that's pretty much what you want. Smith, who was on the opposite side, is in the top three side, and he's also got 18 goals. I'd actually say that Stockley isn't the issue necessarily in terms of goal return. Now, bearing in mind how many games did he miss, and he's still got 18 goals.
Yeah, he was out for like 4 months.
There you go. So he got 18 goals and has missed a third of the season. So I don't have a problem with Jaden Stockley's goal return at all. I think I mentioned it earlier on about Dobson. I think we've certainly missed goals from midfield and goals from other areas. Yeah. And I think that's probably what's let us down. But no, I'd have Jaden Stockley wouldn't. Oh, goodness me. I mean, how many other. Every other team in this division would bite your arm off for Jaden Stockley.
Yeah, they certainly would. Right, Reg says, George Dobson, take a bow, as if there was any doubt that he is our player of the year. Absolute baller. The core of a good team is there, with Macca in goal, Lavelle, Dobbo, Connor and Stockley up front. Splice and dice around those five, and we're prancing and dancing next season. That's from Reg. Hi to Jonathan West as well, who sent in a little message from the Upbeats. I hope you're well, mate. Hope you're having a good time. Robert says, hi, guys. I thought we were great value for the win. Competed well in the first half. Dominated in the second. Final ball was lacking at times. We could or should have won by two or three. Pleasing to see McGovern coming to collect so many crosses throughout the game. Such an important trait when under pressure. That's from Robert. Yeah, agree with that. And finally, we've got this one from John. He sent this during the week, actually, but I promised I'd save it for the Sunday show so we can have a quick chat. Says, what's the problem with finding the CEO? Peter Varney is the perfect fit. He was also at the Valley last Saturday. In the last two pre-season sets of games, Hadi Gandor has scored goals, then he disappears. Why? He says, I'm not impressed with Jackson. He should be bringing in Aaron Henry, who is for first-class pass with the ball, and also Charlie Barker to get them up to speed. Not difficult with this lot. Gilby is a waste of time, and neither of our wingers have a football brain. Fast and tricky, but end up just beating themselves. We deserve better. Football then has been served up this season. I mean, that was sent the other day on the 5th, so I think before the Wimbledon game possibly. But there's some points in there. What's your views on Peter Varney at first? I mean, I know he's getting on a bit, with all due respect to Peter. I don't know if he's still working.
I'm sure he is. I mean, I know Peter. I've been lucky enough to have known him for a while. Not closely, I have to say. Peter Varney would be an asset to any organisation. So you won't hear me say anything other than if we had Peter Varney, we'd be a better club, no question about it. He's not part of the ownership's plans, I guess. The ownership has their own plans, and we have to wait and see if that pans out good or bad, I guess. Do we need a CEO? I think most people would say yes. I have no idea personally. I've never really been in a position to know one way or the other whether that regime works better than the one we've got. I think yes, we probably should need a CEO, but who am I to judge? I don't know. The other points about
youngsters in the side,
The one thing I'd say about that, and you get all what you always get calls for, you know, bring the kids in because you know what we've got isn't good enough, and I understand that train of thought. However, the only thing I'd say is hark back to Carlin Grant. You know, when he first appeared on the scene, he was on fire in the youth and under 23. He was scoring goals for fun. And then we brought him into the first team and I think gave him a run of about six or seven games. We played him on his own up top and absolutely destroyed the kid. And it took him two or three seasons to come back. And I don't think that's a thing we have to do or need to do at the moment. I think Aaron Henry is going to be a superb player. I think people forget he's still... I don't think he's even 18 yet. I think he's still 17, isn't he? So, I mean, he's still incredibly young. I mean, it was great to see yesterday, and it was lovely to see a Lee Burn in the squad list yesterday for those of a certain age. Miles Lee Burn was there. Great to see him in the squad. Nazir Backroom was there. Great to see him involved in the squad. We still, of course, had Burstow on the bench. We've had Daniel Carno involved. It's a good learning curve for them to be involved in the squads and every now and again get their chance. But expecting them to come in a League One especially, and I mentioned before about the what you need to get out of League One, to expect them to blood, you know, young kids at 16, 17 in a League One campaign for more than one game here and there is just asking for trouble. And if you want to see longevity from kids and get the best out of them, you just can't do it. And I don't think it's different, again, you know, when you're in the Championship, when you're in the Premier League, you get a little bit of time and on the ball, perhaps more so than, I don't just mean pressing. I mean, you know, a clogger coming through you at 70 miles an hour and taking your legs out. You know, you just get to express yourself a little more. And maybe when you're in a successful side, you can do that a little bit more often. But when you're battling for your life or when you're battling for to get out of this league, sometimes I think you just got to realise that, you know, putting kids in isn't necessarily the answer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Henry's out on loan at Willesden. He is 18, but he's out getting that experience that he needs at the moment. Right, we've run out of time on this week's Charlton Live. Bit more of a fun show than it has been over the majority of the season. It was a good win. It was a good win yesterday, and I really enjoyed the goal from George Dobson. Great to hear from him on the show. Great to hear from those of you who contacted the studio as well, plus the two chaps I spoke to on the train at home yesterday. Great to hear from you, Terry, as always.
Cheers, Louis.
Good to speak to you. I'm Louis Mendes, and thanks for listening. We'll be back on Thursday to look ahead. Oh, no, actually, we'll be back on Wednesday because the game's on Good Friday this week, so we'll bring it forward today to look ahead to the game with Morecambe. We look forward to speaking to you again on Wednesday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.